Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Coforge Limited conference call with analysts and institutional investors. Please note, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and this conference is being recorded. We have today with us from the management team, Mr. Sudhir Singh, CEO, Mr. Saurabh Goel, CFO, and Mr. Manish Hemrajani, Head of IR. We will begin the call with opening remarks from the management team, and post that, we will open the floor for questions. With that, I now hand over the call to Mr. Manish Hemrajani. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Swapnil. Good afternoon to everyone on the call, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Coforge's acquisition of Encora. Please note that we'll only be talking about the acquisition on this call and don't plan to take other questions on business. Before we begin, a reminder that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements which involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and Coforge assumes no obligation to update these statements. With that, I'll now hand the call over to our CEO, Mr. Sudhir Singh.
Thank you, Manish. And we apologize for the poor audio quality in the opening remarks that Manish put in. He was offering the standard safe harbor statements. And with that context, ladies, gentlemen, it is our absolute pleasure and a great privilege to welcome you to what we believe is a very important announcement and, dare I say, a very thrilling one. I trust that during the call today, the choice of words and the tone that you hear Saurabh and me use will be a testament to the excitement that we see and we feel today and to the immense possibilities that we think that this development presages for Coforge. With that, let's kick this off with the prepared context. Ladies, gentlemen, the current leadership of Coforge came together 8.5 years back. Over the last 8 years, the firm has delivered one of the highest growth rates of any mid or large cap tech services firm in the industry. This sustained, robust, profitable industry-leading growth has been achieved on the back of an execution intensity that is uniquely our own. It was aided by the hyper-specialization on select industries and exceptional capability depth in emerging technologies. While most of the growth has been organic, it is important to note that every one of the acquisitions that we've done over the last 8 years, and I mean every one, has been very successful. Over the last 8.5 years, the revenue run rate of Coforge has gone up almost 5 times, and the market cap of Coforge has increased almost 20 times. It is our intent to ensure that the next 8 years see us maintain and improve upon the sustained business performance of the previous 8 years that I just shared. We hope to continue to be the industry leaders when it comes to revenue growth, with increasing margins and in investor value creation. As we pursue the same, we recognize that a new era of enterprise tech is emerging, one where AI driven by cloud and data is becoming the engine of enterprise reinvention. The next gen enterprise will have its business capabilities defined and executed via a combination of humans and AI agents, underpinned by an enterprise data core and a cloud foundation that is purpose-built for AI. In that context, Coforge believes that the acquisition of Encora is a defining moment for our organization. And I mean a defining moment. It establishes a scaled AI-led engineering, data and cloud services-based capability moat for the firm. This, allied with Coforge's hyper-specialized industry expertise and execution intensity, is likely to further accelerate our industry-leading growth. It also sets us up as the tech services firm that is likely to be the first to deliver upon the promise of the AI-infused future that lies ahead of our industry. You will note that this transaction is an all-stock deal, where the sellers, including Advent International and Warburg Pincus, are rolling over into Coforge and not taking any consideration as cash. This reflects the confidence that the incoming shareholders have in the prospects of the expanded firm. Let me move very quickly to an overview of Encora. Born in the Silicon Valley, California, Encora is one of the select technology services firms with an AI-native DNA that provides software engineering services for digital native companies and Fortune 1000 enterprises. Encora works at the convergence of AI, cloud, data, with service offerings that span intelligent process design, agent-native product engineering, core modernization, AI foundation, data readiness, and AI ops. Encora has created one of the industry's first composable AI platforms, it's called IVA, to deliver integrated agentic orchestration and software engineering services. With composability at its core, IVA lets organizations compose their own intelligent workflows across engineering and business functions. Key attributes, and I will talk about five, that are unique to Encora and position it as a transformative AI-led engineering disruptor include: one, it already has a core AI native asset, an internal agentic platform. The IVA AI platform is not a slideware accelerator, it is a composable agentic platform. Two, unlike most AI native startups, this firm already operates inside Fortune 500 enterprises and has institutional memory inside accounts with multi-year tenured engineers and very high advocacy. Three, its delivery model is already human plus agent, with significant internal adoption of agentic tooling and a roadmap to transition from horizontal agents to verticalized agents. Four, it has a talent composition that matches AI native winners, not legacy AIs, SIs. It is not a labor arbitrage play, but is a compound engineering asset, which is a prerequisite for AI native firms. With significant presence of onshore and nearshore LATAM-based SMEs, it is one of the firms closest to making the forward deployed engineers paradigm real in the distributed tech services model. And finally, five, this platform can become a services as software mode that is increasingly identified as the winning archetype in our changing industry. So with that introduction to Encora, let me talk about the five principal reasons which underlie the acquisition rationale. Coforge's acquisition of Encora will create an approximately $2.5 billion tech services powerhouse with both the scale and capability across AI-led engineering, cloud and data services to drive enterprise-grade AI solutions. This acquisition is highly synergistic, and I will again call out five reasons that drive the synergies and five reasons that excite us immensely. Number one, AI-led engineering plus data plus cloud services alone are likely to deliver $2 billion revenue in fiscal year 27. AI-led product engineering business for the firm is likely to be a US $1.25 billion plus business in FY27. Cloud services, a $500 million business, and data engineering, a quarter of a billion, $250 million business. The second reason, high-tech and healthcare industry verticals of Coforge are expected to reach material scale immediately post-acquisition. The high-tech vertical will be a $170 million run rate business with several $10 million plus relationships post-acquisition. The healthcare vertical of the combined firm will be again a $170 million run rate business. Encora substantially expands Coforge's healthcare presence in pharma, in mid-tech, and in health tech, and brings new AI-led solutions such as AI Biomed Research Assistant, AI-enabled Patient Guardian, multi-omics data ingestion, and AI foundation for clinical trials. Number three, this will reposition Coforge as a player with scaled-up nearshore delivery capability in LATAM, with an exceptional engineering and AI talent base servicing US clients. Encora has a large and widespread nearshore delivery capability with more than 3,100 delivery team strength in its LATAM delivery centers. Rationale number four, it will significantly expand the West and the Midwest US client footprint of Coforge. Pre-acquisition, as you know, only 25% of Coforge's North America geo unit revenue came from the US West and Midwest. This acquisition will provide a fillip to Coforge's North America growth plans. Coforge's North America business is expected to jump by around 50% to $1.4 billion post-acquisition. Finally, and reason number five, is that the combined firm will now have 45 $10 million plus highly scalable relationships. Encora adds 11 $10 million plus tenured client relations, with its top 10 client relationship tenures averaging more than 10 years. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this. Coforge has an exceptional track record of growing acquired client relationships by effective cross-selling and upselling. The most recent evidence of this was the Cigniti acquisition, where all the 10 million plus relationships have experienced strong, dare I say, very strong growth post-acquisition. So those were the five reasons around the acquisition rationale. I'm going to request our CFO, Mr. Goyal, to talk about the transaction details.
Thank you, Sudeep. Coforge has signed a definitive agreement to acquire 100% shares of Encora from Advent International, Warburg Pincus, and other minority shareholders. The enterprise value of the transaction is $2.35 billion, which will be financed as follows. Equity value of $1.89 billion paid in the form of equity shares through preferential allotment by Coforge. This will result in shareholders of Encora holding approximately 20 to 21% on a fully diluted basis, assuming the Cigniti merger will go through and shares will get allotted and number of shares will increase. We're also looking at a bridge loan or a term loan or a QIP of $550 million to retire the term loan, which is in Encora. The pricing of the QIP will be determined by SEBI regulations at the time of the transaction. As noted earlier, this transaction is an all-stock deal where the sellers, including Advent International and Warburg Pincus, are rolling over into Coforge and are not taking any consideration as cash. This reflects the confidence that the incoming shareholders have in the prospects of the expanded firm. QIP is one of the many funded options being considered only to retire the debt. If we do decide to do a QIP, it will only happen around closing, which is around 6 months away. We shall also explore other funding options other than QIP, and hence there is a possibility that the QIP may never get triggered. The consideration has been agreed at a share price of $18.15 per share, which is at a premium of 8.5% of today's close. The process and timelines for closing is as outlined below. Shareholders' approval will be secured within 30 days. We'll be launching the postal ballot today. Regulatory approvals are expected to take 4 to 6 months. And Coforge to assume a debt in overseas geo to retire existing term loan in Encora on the date of closing, which is expected to be within, again, 4 to 6 months from signing. And Coforge to evaluate launch of QIP if required at that point in time. From financials perspective, the consolidated turnover of Encora Group for financial year 26, the estimated number, and they follow April to March financial year. So estimated number for financial year 26, revenues are around $600 million and adjusted EBITDA of the firm is 19%. In FY24 and FY25, the consolidated turnover of the business was $481 million and $516 million respectively. With Encora's current margin profile, and the anticipated synergies that we see in the business, and the combined business is expected to operate an EBIT margin of 14% post amortization of intangibles, That will be created as part of the purchase price allocation for this acquisition. Despite the primary infusion, the deal is not expected to be EPS dilutive on a consolidated basis because of the strong margin profile of Encora and expected synergies from the two businesses, that is Coforge and Encora, coming together. With this, I will hand over the call back to Sudhir for his concluding remarks.
Thank you, Saurabh. As noted at the outset, the Encora acquisition is a defining moment for our organization. Over the last 8 years, Coforge has established a reputation for execution intensity, hyper-specialized industry expertise, a perfect track record of making every acquisition very successful, and of course, of being one of the leaders when it comes to industry-leading growth. The new $2.5 billion firm with a $2 billion enterprise core of AI-led engineering, data, and cloud services, we believe will set the benchmark for making the promise of AI real for enterprises. In turn, this AI-infused core-led growth is likely to move Coforge's already exceptional growth numbers to the next higher order. With that, and with those remarks, ladies, gentlemen, both Saurabh and I conclude our prepared remarks, and we both look forward to your questions.
Thank you so much.
Just before you start the Q&A, just one housekeeping remark. Please limit your questions to the acquisition only. We will not take questions on the business. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may click on the raise hand icon from the participant tab on your screen. We'll wait for the question queue to assemble. We'll take our first question from Abhishek Pathak of Motilal Oswal.
Yeah, hi, team. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, hi, Sudhir. Hi, Saurabh. Thank you for that presentation. So a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, how should we, or rather, where should we place Encora's capabilities, on the spectrum of, let's say, the higher value engineering services companies which are listed in the U.S. versus a lot of sort of, Indian peers that we compete against? So where does Encora compete with over there? That's the first one. Secondly, on the leadership sort of transition or other, how are you sort of considering where would the leadership be sort of, placed post 6 months of integration? And thirdly, sort of, where does the key talent sort of, for Encora sit? Is it in the U.S.? Is it in India? And how do you expect that to sort of move once you go ahead with the acquisition? Thank you so much. And I'll get back in the queue for further questions.
Thank you, Abhishek. Encora ranks, as we said, it's an asset that was born in the Silicon Valley. It provides software engineering services for digital native companies. It ranks, we believe, and we've spent a lot of time working with the Encora team, at the highest level on the global pedestal when it comes to AI-led engineering offerings across the world. If you were to reflect on some of the services that they offer, these include agent-native product engineering. They include AI foundation build. They include data readiness, validation, and creation. They run the entire gamut of services across AIOps. In terms of capability, this is once again, just to reiterate, a firm born in the Silicon Valley, servicing some of the cutting-edge leading high techs across the world, which would rank and stack up as one of the best, if not the best, in this space with a peer set anywhere around the world. Second, as far as the leadership transition is concerned, we will continue to follow the proven acquisition template that we have developed over the last 8 years, as a consequence of which everyone, with no exception of our acquisitions, has been successful. Changes to the org structure, reporting structure will only get finalized once we have effective control post all regulatory approvals coming in. We shall communicate those changes over a period of time, once we get the necessary regulatory approvals.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Abhishek.
We'll take our next question from Vibhor Singhal of Nuvama Equities. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Hi, Sudhir, Saurabh and team. Congrats on this milestone acquisition. Two questions from my side. Sudhir, this acquisition definitely appears to be taking us into the direction of product engineering and design services, one of the maybe the white spaces that we were always looking to. But just if you could just maybe give us a bit of more color on basically how I think this acquisition is going to help us. The other two drivers that we had mentioned in the analyst meet regarding enhancing our presence on the West Coast and the Midwest in the US, and also in terms of diversifying our portfolio into other domains that we are looking at in terms of growth expansion. And second question for maybe both you and Saurabh is, we've always maintained that our acquisitions will be EPS accretive from day one. Do you foresee that in this case as well? If some financial details can be shared or are available in terms of how the numbers will flow from the margins to the PAT level in terms of the overall EPS accretiveness of the acquisition.
Saurabh, why don't you reassure the question, the folks on the call about the EPS accretion and the margins, and then I'll come to the first question.
So, Vibhor, thank you for your question. So, Vibhor, as part of the prepared remarks, the first thing we looked at while evaluating the firm, I mentioned that the firm will be EPS accretive. So, they operate, so their revenue is roughly $600 million in the current financial year. Obviously, we'll start consolidating from next financial year. The margins around are 90-odd%. I'm still not betting on how much synergies we would be able to get. But there are significant synergies that will come out because purely because of the size of the two organizations coming together. And when we look at their depreciation and amortization, without the intangibles that are getting created are almost 1-1.5% of EBITDA. So plus, if we just do the math and look at the amortization of intangibles, it just gives us an EPS which is including the new shares that will get allotted, because as I mentioned, $1.89 billion of worth of equity is getting allotted. And if you look at the Regulation 30 that has been disclosed, it has been done at 18.15 rupees per share, which is at 88.77 rupees or 89.77 rupees is the dollar to INR conversion. So if you just do the math, you will get to know how many shares are getting allotted, which is close to 93 million shares. And with $600 million of revenue, 19% EBITDA, plus the synergy, minus the current depreciation of 1-1.5%, minus the amortization and the tax will take you to EPS accretion.
Coming to the first question, Vibhor, the first question that you had around the capabilities, the reasons. See, the way we look at it is this. If you look at us, we have an organic growth engine that's doing extremely well. The sales engine is proven, not recently, but over 8 years. The execution intensity is best in class for 8 years. And the hyper-specialization on domain is something that we take great pride in. When we add this asset and we look at what the firm becomes, we become a $2.5 billion tech services firm with a core $2 billion out of that $2.5 billion coming from AI-led engineering, data and cloud services alone. That's the first thing from a differentiation and the growth that it will drive for us perspective that we feel very confident about. The second thing, and we talked about this in earlier investor calls, is this. The coming together of the two organizations stands up two scaled up industry verticals from the get-go. High tech, where we never had much of a presence, and healthcare that we've been growing at a steady clip. Both of them at about $170 odd million in terms of size are material and we believe will really scale up. Third, and we've said this again in the past, we believe that our presence in North America, especially the US, has been very lopsided towards the East and the South. Having been born in the Silicon Valley, Encora has a preponderance of clients in the Midwest and the West. There is great geographic complementarity that comes in. Fourth, we have, as you know, been attempting to scale up LATAM for ourselves, but the Encora acquisition gives us more than 3,100 outstanding SMEs in the nearshore area who are held in very high regard for their AI-led engineering capabilities. Finally, something that you always heard us say, we said this when the Cigniti acquisition also happened. Post the acquisition, we as a firm will have 45 clients more than $10 million, and most of these are tenured relationships. Our track record, forget our confidence, our track record on acquisitions and scaling up clients has, we believe, been exceptional. We think that's going to create a runway for growth. When we look at Coforge and Encora coming together, it's not one or two new runways for growth that we see getting created. We see multiple getting created, and that's where the excitement stems from. That's where the confidence also stems from. Did I answer your question, Vibhor? I mean, is Vibhor around?
Yes, we do have Vibhor here.
Okay, great. We can go to the next questioner in that case, please.
Yeah, hi, Sudhir. Sorry, I think the operator had put me on mute. I just, so can you hear me now?
I can, I can. I was just checking if we'd answered your question.
No, Sudhir, definitely. I think this is perfectly, thanks for answering my question in that detail. Just one follow-up, if I can, a small follow-up, if I can squeeze in. In this type of an acquisition, Sudhir, I think at the enterprise value that we have, they tend to basically come at slightly, basically, I would say, slightly higher multiples. Any reason that you would say that the promoters of the entity wanted to exit, and why were they selling out if they were also kind of seeing the similar kind of runway of growth that we are able to? Or is it just that we were able to, we will be able to complement their business much better than they could have individually done so? Just your color on that would be really helpful.
Vibhor, maybe let me take that. See, the sellers have not exited. They've actually rolled over. I think there was not a process that was running on. I think it's just that when the conversation started, the upside that was visible to the incoming shareholders who are actually eventually the sellers, they saw that both the businesses coming together can create more value. That was the confidence they had in both the businesses coming together, and hence this deal was stitched. It's not that they were looking at cashing out, and that's why, as I said, not a single consideration has been paid in cash. It is an all-stock deal, and the only cash that will be used will be to retire debt, which is there in the company.
Did we answer your question, Vibhor?
Again, one on mute.
I think we've again put him on mute.
Yeah, now I'm back on mute. I think just a bit of understanding, but yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. I won't bother with this mute and mute thing again. Thank you so much for answering my questions, Sudhir and Saurabh, and wish you all the best with the year and the acquisition, and wish you guys a very happy new year.
Sure.
Okay, sure. Great.
Thank you so much. We'll take our next question from the line of Kawaljeet Saluja of Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Okay, sure. Hey, congratulations, yeah, on this massive transaction. My question is for Saurabh. Saurabh, can you just walk me through the EPS accretion map, rather math, actually? Because if you look at this transaction, let's say it's $2.35 billion. You assume, let's say, 20% of that would go into intangibles. So that would be like $500 million, which if you amortize over a period of 7, 8 years, will give you an annual amortization charge of $70 million-$80 million here. Now, unless and until you assume massive margin expansion, I'm just wondering as to how do you get to that EPS accretion map and math? And I presume you're talking about GAAP numbers here.
Yeah. So Kawaljeet, a couple of things. One, the valuation will be, so the intangible will be around 20-odd%. See, but the life of the customer relationships will not be 7-8 years. It will be anywhere between 12 to 14 years because of the 25-year tenure of the relationships that they have today. So keeping that in mind, depending upon, now again, these are all off the cuff mathematics that we're doing, because 2.35 also has a liability that is coming in. So the equity value is less. So when we assign customer relationships, maybe it will close to 20, maybe 19, but because the life of customer relationships will not be 7-8, will be close to more towards 13-14. Because of that, the amortization would be again anywhere around $37, $38, $39 million. And with 25% ETR, we should be able to get the same number that I was referring to. And I mentioned 19% is the current EBITDA. As I mentioned, there are significant synergies that are there, both on the G&A, S&M, and operation side. Even if you assign a percentage or two, plus the growth that we've been delivering in the past, will get you to the EPS that I was referring to.
Saurabh, is there a tax sheet available on intangible amortization?
There are tax losses which are sitting in the balance sheet that we are acquiring. So that synergy is over and above.
Okay. The second question is this: is that Encora has grown also. I mean, they have used acquisitions strategically over the last few years. So can you detail what their organic growth rate would have been in FY24 and FY25?
So we will share that numbers later, but I think they've grown at a rate of some 7 to 10% over the last 2 years. And before that, the growth rate was, organic growth rate was close to 15-16%.
Okay. So how do you square off the valuations for the transaction? Because when I look at Coforge, I mean, it's a remarkable growth engine growing at 20%. And in the implied valuation, you are assigning the same multiple to the revenues of, let's say, Encora, which has grown at, let's say, 10% versus, let's say, Coforge, which seems to have a better growth engine working here.
So, Kuljit, two parts to it again. One, we've not only looked at revenue multiple, we've looked at EBITDA multiple as well. And the EBITDA multiple that has been assigned to Encora has been lower than what Coforge is today trading at, number one. Number two, we haven't assigned any benefit of the synergies that will come in because of either the cross-sell or the cost synergies that are anticipated, like we have seen in the past. And after that, the valuation was done. So, see, I agree, the revenue multiple is high or closer to Coforge, but the EBITDA multiple is lower because the profitability, the profile of the profitability of the firm is higher than Coforge.
Got that. You know, just if I can ask one more question, what are the total number of associates which will come on board after this transaction?
9,200.
9,200. Okay.
9,200. And the other metric at 9,200 also gives us, Kawaljeet, is a revenue per employee also significantly higher than Coforge. Our revenue per employee on tech services is higher than most of our peers. But the Encora revenue per employee is, again, materially higher than even our revenue, RP.
Got that. And Sudhi, just a final question for you. I remember the analyst day, you did highlight that when you look at acquisition, you focus a lot on the customer profile that you can get on board. So when you looked at Encora, what was the bigger weightage, the capability or the customer profile? If you can just shed some light on it, that would be great here.
Kawaljeet, Encora has been one of those very unusual assets that we've evaluated and had an opportunity to sit and have conversations with teams around, where we found both the runways were very significant. The capability, of course, is cutting edge, and we think it's truly cutting edge. It's evidenced by the revenue per employee metric that we were just discussing. It's evidenced by the client roster that they have. It's evidenced by just the genesis of that firm and where it started off and who it works with. So that clearly is was a given for us.
And that's the key metric that we looked at. Capability. Client, of course, has been exciting, not just because 11 new $10 million clients are getting added. It's also because of the tenure of these clients. The average tenure of the top 10 clients is more than 10 years. So again, just to summarize, one of those very few assets where we found both runways in play. Normally, one has to pick an asset, choosing one of them. In this case, both of these were the capability and the client portfolio. Both of it is extremely attractive.
Fantastic. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, Kavalji.
Thank you so much. We have our next question coming in from Manik Taneja of Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, please go ahead.
Congratulations to the Coforge team for a bold acquisition. I had one clarification question around data point. First of all, you mentioned that the EBITDA margin profile is about 19% currently. If you could talk about how their margins have trended over the course of last 3 years, that's question number one. The second question was basically while the incoming shareholders have rolled the stake into Coforge, is there a lock-in for them in terms of the stake that they hold in Coforge? And finally, the third question, while you did allude to the 11th USD 10 million plus customer base, if you could talk about between healthcare and high tech, which is the industry segment that you're more excited about on a go forward basis? Those would be my questions.
So I'll take the margin question first. So their adjusted EBITDA margins historically has been in a range of 17% to 19%. They're actually hovering towards 19.5 now. 19 is for the year margin that they would achieve. And that margin, as I mentioned, was being delivered with or without any acquisition or anyone coming in. So that is on the EBITDA margin front. I think rollover of equity, maybe Sudhir, you want to take that up?
Sure. So Manik, as Saurabh said earlier, the sellers, including Advent International, including Warburg Pincus, are rolling over into Coforge and they are not taking any consideration as cash. As we said, this reflects the confidence that they themselves, along with us, have in the prospects of the expanded firm. In response to the earlier question, as I said, the growth runways that are getting created as a consequence of the firms coming together is not one or two new axes. It is multiple axes, right? One is what you're referring to. Healthcare and high tech will be great prongs for growth. Second, LATAM, having that talent pool will help us move forward. Third, the 10 million plus relationships. Fourth, the geographic footprint expansion across the Midwest and the West. So that's answer to question number two. Answer to question number three, it's difficult to say whether it's healthcare that excites us more or high tech. Healthcare, as you know, we've been at it for the last 2 years, $170 million business with very deep AI underlaid capabilities, we think will really ramp up with great speed. High tech is an absolutely new vertical that is coming to us. It's again $170 odd million. It is underlaid by exceptional engineering capabilities and very tenured client relationships because this firm was born in the Silicon Valley and is headquartered there. Did we answer your questions, Mike?
Sure. Yeah. No, that's quite helpful. The last one from my end, just a clarification question in terms of Encora also has a deep leadership team in terms of how you're thinking about the org structure as the business merges into Coforge.
Oh, we've spent a lot of time, Manik, as you can imagine, given the size of the transaction and the excitement that we feel around what it does to our growth numbers and profitability numbers going forward. We have point of views. We've been working with them. The first conversation that we had with the sellers was almost 13 months back. So we've had a lot of time to reflect back, to examine, to spend time with the management team. Plans, if any, we would like to share once we have regulatory approvals. And while we do have, we like to think, a very good understanding of the strengths, and we are very excited about the SMEs and the leaders who are coming here. We will not be able to get into specifics at the current point in time till all regulatory approvals are in.
Great. Thank you for answering my questions. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, Manik.
Thank you so much. Our next question is coming in from the line of Rishi Jhunjhunwala of IIFL.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sudhir, two, three things, here. Firstly, given such a large acquisition, are they, while, the existing investors are coming on board, is there any kind of, consideration which is linked to future performance of the asset, if at all, in terms of either revenue retention versus what the existing client base is, or revenue and margin targets that the asset needs to achieve? That is one. Second, can you give us some color in terms of what are we doing for the key leadership retention in Encora, and how does that play out? And thirdly, I'm not sure if you answered this earlier, but the investors who are coming in, are there any applicable lock-ins for their 20-21% stake?
Sure. So when it comes to the size of the acquisition, Rishi, you might recall then that when we were a 12,000 people organization, we had acquired SLK, which was a 7,000 people organization. Of course, today we are a 35,000 people organization acquiring a firm which has 9,200 people. So in terms of relative sizes, from a just a relative basis perspective, this is a smaller acquisition. And the SLK acquisition, as you know, had gone off exceptionally well. From a leadership retention perspective, we will follow the same playbook that we've used in the past, which has been very successful. We have a point of view, and we will continue to work both with the sellers and the management team to make sure that the retention structures, including stocks and retention bonuses that we put in play, are structures that are effective from our point of view, right?
Yep.
Saurabh, would you like to add anything to
this? No, I think Sudhir, so you've answered it. So I think there are the shareholding is already agreed. There's nothing to be done. Lock-in is beyond statutory lock-in, and all the other details are actually part of the Regulation 30 and will be there in the postal ballot that is going out tonight, because it will be coming up for shareholders' approval.
Rishi, did we answer your question?
Yes, yes. Thank you. If you can hear me.
Thank you, Rishi. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Our next question is coming in from the line of Sandeep Shah of Equirus Securities. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. My questions are slightly similar to what Kawaljeet has asked. If I look at the revenue CAGR over last 3 years, it has been at 13%, despite the company is more into AI-led new generation kind of a practices. So in that scenario, don't you believe the growth could be better at their scale, and that to new gen kind of a services, which has a higher demand? And if I'm not wrong, there are some acquisitions they have also done in the past. Example, DMI in the February of 2025. So can you break down this 13% CAGR into organic and inorganic?
So as I mentioned that the organic growth over last 2 years, just 2 years, was around 7-8%, and the reported numbers were higher. And even this year, FY26 is an estimated number. The number that they will deliver, or they've at least shared with us, they will deliver is higher than this. We have just taken a run rate of H1. The reported number of FY26 will be whenever the FY26 gets over. So that is point number one. And maybe on growth, Sudhir.
So Sandeep, when we look at the capability that this organization has, and when we look at the client portfolio that they have, both in terms of size and in terms of tenure, we've looked at this for a while, we feel very confident that when you put the Coforge sales processes and execution intensity side by side with the capability that this team has, and it's a very strong team, and the clients that they have exceptional trust with, growth numbers should should really see significant acceleration given the smaller scale of the asset also.
And just to add to that, see, as part of the diligence process, when we looked at their business, we looked at the client profile, or say top 30 clients over the last few years, and the reason why there was either an upsell or a downsell, because they had very, at a even at a $600 million, they were very sharply focused on AI-led engineering, data, and cloud, nothing more than that. And with now, and because of which, maybe the growth in certain cases were muted, because whenever the vendor consolidation was happening, they were not able to either participate in the larger RFP because they didn't have incremental services or additional capabilities that Coforge has. So I think everyone talks about cross-sell. As a firm, we have kind of delivered in the past. We walked the talk. So I think we've done the analysis around how the cross-sell will play out, both at the front end, at the back end, after the closing is done. And that's why we believe that the growth rate will only accelerate rather than decelerate.
And we very significantly accelerate is our conviction. Not just a minor acceleration, we think it'll very significantly accelerate.
Okay. And just the follow-up, can you hear me? Hello?
No, say that again.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. Saurabh, sir, just wanted to understand when you call out adjusted EBITDA, what is the GAAP EBITDA of that company? And amortization per annum at a gross level without tax, you've spoken about 37%-38%. So if I do the backward calculation, this company, for your expectation of 14% consolidated EBIT margin, need to do closer to 21%-22% kind of a EBITDA margin after the intangible amortization, versus the current being 19%. So.
So two parts to it. One, the adjusted EBITDA actually has only adjustments related to the initiatives they had taken, because of which there were one-time costs that had come. For example, either to do with the transaction diligence or the acquisition that they do, or any integration-related costs that had to happen. So adjusted EBITDA includes that. And as I mentioned, that historically, when you looked at whether we acquired SLK, whether we acquired Cigniti, the margin accretion that has happened on the EBITDA side has been very, very significant. Over here, we are only looking at maybe a couple of percentage points to be improved. And you can imagine if two organizations of this size, I mean, $600 million and $1.9 billion are coming together, there are significant synergies that will be laid out between both on the G&A front and at the front end. So at least keeping all of that in mind, we believe that at least 14% EBIT is not out of sight. And because they don't have debt, they have cash, and the debt is more was more to do with the leverage buyout. Operational, there is no debt. They don't have a working capital line. That is why we believe that at least the margins, the EPS will be accretive. So I think that's where we're coming from. Don't want to bet on beyond whether the amortization will be $37, $35, or $38 million. And but whatever that number will be basis, but it will be within that zip code. I'm not even betting on the benefit that we will get on the accumulated amortization or the losses that we have in certain geos, which are profitable for us, and the synergies on that front. So there are enough synergies, both on the front end, back end, and the balance sheets that we are taking over, which gives us confidence that at least EPS accretion will be there.
Yeah, just last couple of few questions. So, Saurabh sir, you are talking about intangible amortization could be in the range of 35 to 40 million, which you say you will finalize and let us know earlier, before after some time. And the second thing is, I'm slightly confused, if they have a debt and we also want to raise the equity, why not continue with that debt? Is it higher cost in terms of the debt in the books of the acquired company?
Yeah, so that's a debt that is there, wherein the current shareholders, it was a leverage buyout. So there is a debt that is sitting there, which is very expensive.
and we will have to retire that debt for sure. We are not saying that we will do QIP for sure. We are looking at funding options in the overseas geos, and that's why we mentioned as part of my prepared remarks, we had mentioned that we are looking at both the options, taking debt overseas, depending upon at what cost it comes in. We'll also look at other options of funding the retirement of debt that is there. But we will not continue with the debt that is currently there because it is not an operational debt. It was more of a structural debt in the business.
So if you do QIP, there will be further dilution, and that as of now, we are not calculating in our EPS accretive calculations. As and when it
I have
happens, it
actually.
would be a new.
So, I have included if there is dilution. Only thing is right now not betting on whether, see, because either we take interest cost or we take dilution. Right now, we don't know at what rate we will do QIP and what rate not. But even if I assume that the QIP is done at the current rate of 18-15 and not below that, then the EPS accretion will be there. The EPS will not be diluted.
Okay. Thanks for my opportunity and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have our next question coming in from Sumit Jain of CLSA. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, Sudhir, if I look at your previous two acquisitions, SLK Global and Cigniti, I guess both of them you mentioned were a semi-distressed assets, and then you had a lot of synergies to turn them around. Whereas this time around, it's a pretty high-quality asset with decent kind of a growth and very good margin profile. So can you just explain more deeper into the synergies, what you are trying to create, both on revenue side as well as on the cost side? I know you guys have mentioned around the geography card, the vertical card, the tenure of the clients. But can you talk about the services beyond AI-led engineering, cloud, and data, what they already have? What additional can you offer to those tenure clients, which can actually take up the growth of this asset from 7-8% of the last 2 years to probably mid-teens, what Coforge has been delivering?
So, thanks for the question. As I said at the outset, we're not just confident of incremental growth over organic growth over what Encora has recorded. We are confident of very significant growth. In the case of, you're right in your initial remark about the fact that in the past, SLK and Cigniti, the play that we had was largely focused on making sure that we mined the client portfolio. And we also had a certain play when it came to increasing the EBITDA profile of those firms, both of which, in both instances, we did very successfully. In this case, when it comes to Encora, we are extremely excited about the client portfolio that they have, particularly the 11, $10 million plus clients. Coforge has 11 technology service lines. AI-led engineering is only one of them. As we've had conversations with leaders of the top accounts of Encora, it's very apparent to us that they have lost or walked away from a lot of business just because they did not have scale when it came to BPS, when it came to AI-led QE, when it came in some cases to enterprise platforms, especially cloud-based ERP platforms, and in some cases when it came to data and cloud-based operations as well. So a firm that's largely been focused on AI-led engineering and has had ins into data and cloud will now approach the market and the same 11, 10 million plus clients and the significant number of 5 million plus clients they have with 11 technology service lines going in. Finally, when it comes to this asset, the point that Saurabh made earlier is we see significant revenue synergies, Coforge going together into existing Encora accounts, and also AI-led engineering capabilities now being cross-led very aggressively into the current Coforge existing clients. So there are revenue synergies, and there are very, very significant cost synergies that we see because these are two scaled organizations coming together. Both revenue and cost synergies should be very strong. Saurabh, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, so on the margin front, see, I totally agree. I mean, see, one, SLK Global was not a distressed asset. When we acquired, they were already operating at 18-19% margins. And when we took over them, there was a headwind that came in the business. It was a $70 million asset. Because of mortgage rates going up, it came down to $50 million. And then not a single quarter we came back and said that we've not grown because we've taken a hit in the BFS business of theirs in the mortgage side because of interest rates going up. So you're able to bring in front-end synergies, and Sudhir has already elaborated. In Cigniti, the marginal profile of the business from 11% went up to 18.5% because obviously the business was a distressed asset or was not operating at optimal level. Over here, we are only pegging around 2-odd percentage points, and that is just because of the G&A and a bit on the capability side, organizations coming together and synergies playing out because of leadership team which is there and because of the G&A functions, because of facility overheads, because of other overheads around investments around licenses and all of those. So just putting all of that together, just 2 percentage point is what we're talking about synergies to play out. The revenue synergies will be over and above, and it could be exponential. I'm not even betting on that right now. And that is why we get confidence that we'll be able to get synergies. We are not pegging 6-7% like we have done in the past. We're only pegging 2%. To your point, it's already an asset which is operating at a decent level.
Got it. No, that's very helpful. And secondly, just if you can comment around the changes to your board, I guess a couple of board members will be appointed from Advent and Warburg Pincus. So what kind of changes are you expecting and how it will help to, you know, shape the direction of Coforge ahead?
We expect two members from two leaders from Advent to join our board. Our board is very excited to welcome these leaders. We expect them, of course, to bring the entire breadth of Advent's experience to bear as they work with the other six board members to guide the board. The second thing, of course, and we haven't talked about this, is we will possibly be one of the largest, if not the largest, Advent investment in tech services. And we will explore working with Advent very closely and with Warburg as well, the opportunity to start radiating across their portfolio companies. You will recall that we, since we don't have a promoter, since we don't have a large industry house behind us, most of the growth that has come our way is growth that the enterprise sales engine of Coforge has created. Now, with Advent and Warburg, Advent, two leaders from Advent on the board, we will work with them to make sure that we go across all Advent portfolio firms and try to sell aggressively and expand our footprint there.
No, great. That's very helpful and all the best.
Thank you, Sumit.
Thank you so much. We'll take our next question from the line of Divyesh Mehta of Invesco India.
Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted some context on who would be or what is the sort of the top 10 clients which Encora has? What's the concentration? Which areas are they present in? Just for some context.
Sure. So the top 10 client spread would be largely in line with the spread of their revenue mix by industry, which is heavily weighted towards high tech, towards healthcare, and towards banking.
So is it possible to clarify if it would be the hyperscaler, semiconductor companies, or just to narrow it down a bit more, and what would be the concentration of top five, top 10?
See, when it comes, let me just bring it down first to high tech. We did talk about the fact that when it comes to healthcare, there's significant presence across med tech, pharma. When it comes to high tech, roughly about 30% of the revenue is coming from what the Encora leadership calls the H1 firms, which are digital natives. 70% is the switch that's happened towards enterprise IT players in the high tech space. Banking, of course, is spread more or less in lines with the Coforge banking spread when it comes to clients. Did we answer your question, Divyesh?
Yes, fair. And the client concentration, how would that stack up?
So client concentration is in line with probably around with Coforge. And if we look at their top five clients, won't be contributing more than 19% to 20%. So there does not have a high concentration. It's pretty much diversified, and that's why we look at almost 11 accounts, more than $10 million coming into the mix. So not the concentration is almost mirroring Coforge right now.
Okay. And the revenue per employee which they have and we have, I think if you take into the account that this asset is more on-site based, isn't this still a bit lower? Just if you try to compare it, revenue per employee for them versus you, even if they are more on-site based, then that number is
So
should be higher.
their current revenue per employee is close to $74,000 per employee, and Coforge has a concentration towards US, UK, Australia. Their concentration is nearshore, so that is why the nearshore bill rates are not as high as US or UK or Europe, and that is why when we look at the $74,000 per employee revenue per employee, that is and that is what leads to also higher margins that they have. I mean, Sudhir, you want to add to it?
So, Divesh, I just want to be clear. They don't have a predominant onshore delivery model. I just wish to be very clear. Their onshore percentage, delivery headcount distribution is more or less on par with what the Coforge headcount is. So they're not weighted there. Their non-onsite presence is split largely across India, which is where we operate from, and from countries in the South American continent. So we just wish to be clear. And as we said, when you look at Coforge, our revenue per employee has jumped by about 17% over the last 12 months. And on the technology side, is $69,000 per employee. They are at $74,000. And that's why we made the earlier assertion that that is a testament to the quality of the services and the pricing power that they have.
Thanks, Sudhir. This is very helpful. Just one last question. If there is any ESOP pool for the if there is any ESOP pool for them, that will be from the existing, or there has to be something fresh which has to be created. That's
So as of now, I guess we have enough in the pool to offer the leadership team.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thanks, Divesh.
Thank you so much. We'll wait for the question queue to assemble. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, we will take that as the last question for today. I now hand over the call to management team for their closing remarks. Over to you.
Thank you very much for your interest and for your time, ladies and gentlemen. Saurabh, Manish, and I will be in Mumbai and in Singapore on Monday and Tuesday. We shall endeavor to make sure that we offer more time to address any questions, any remaining pending questions that you might have. As we said at the outset, this is, we believe, a defining moment for the organization. We look back with great satisfaction at what Coforge has accomplished over the last 8 years. We think this is the move that will ensure that the next 8 years are as, if not more, exciting than the last 8 years have been. Thank you very, very much once again for your time, for your interest. We look forward to seeing you in Mumbai on Monday and in Singapore on Tuesday as well. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Coforge Limited, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us.